chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 8, Jews are sinners. And in previous section, chapter 1, verse 18 to 32, the Gentiles are sinners. And in chapter 2, verse 25 to 29, it's talk about who is the true Jews. That's look into Romans chapter 2, verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Circumcision is a sign of God's chosen people. And circumcision starts from when? When is the beginning of circumcision? God make a covenant with Abraham, right? And that is the beginning of circumcision. So circumcision is a sign, is the outer sign of the chosen people. But the chosen people need to obey God's law. So only when they obey God's law, and the outer sign of circumcision makes sense. Even though they have an outer sign of circumcision, but if they don't want to keep the law, and the circumcision itself doesn't mean anything. So this paragraph is trying to talk about this. So verse 26, if an uncircumcised man, which means a Gentile, they keep the righteous requirement of the law. If the Gentile can keep the law, then under the law, they are righteous person. Right? Will this uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? Right? So if the Gentile can keep the law, under the law, they are righteous. It's far better than the one who is outer sign but break the law. So that is what this passage is trying to to tell us. So the conclusion, verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that is outwardly in the flesh. Here talk about he is not a Jew. Here talk about spiritually. What is the true chosen people of God? Who are truly belong to God? Verse 28, I try to figure out. The true chosen people of God must be the one who is righteous. So the true chosen people of God is not the physical Jews. And who has the outer sign of circumcision? What is the true chosen people of God? Verse 29. But he is the Jews who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit. So the true chosen people is the one inwardly, means in out of their heart. They are willing to keep the law of God. Through keeping the law, they can be righteous. And then true circumcision is in the heart. So in the New Testament interprets circumcision actually represent baptism, to remove the sin from us. So we have a very clear conscience. So it is in the spirit, whose praise is not from the man, but from God. This passage is trying to tell us, even Jews outwardly, they have the sign of God's chosen people, but they break the law. So in front of God, they are sinner. So actually, it doesn't help their salvation. Even physically, they have that kind of signs. Now we look into chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. God's judgment of righteousness will not change. What does this passage is talking about? Then verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. And why not say, let us do evil, that good may come? As we are slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just. What does that mean? Let us do good. Let's do evil, that good may come. If we look into verse 1 argument, right? What advantage then has the Jews, or what is the profit of circumcision? So if that means that Jews had no advantage, if the circumcision had no profit, no. Verse 2, must in every way, chiefly because then were committed the oracle of God, the teaching of the Bible. So the advantage of the Jews, the teaching of God, the words of God has been given to them. How come it is an advantage? When you buy a computer, you are accompanied with what? Manual, right? The more advanced technological device always come with very comprehensive manual, tell you what is the purpose of this machine and how to operate the machine. And if the machine has problem, how to do the troubleshooting, right? So manual is very important. But we as a human being, who can tell us where does human being come from? Where are we going? And what is the purpose we live here? We as a human being, who can tell us what is human being? Who can tell us what is the purpose of life? And then, who can tell us what is marriage? How to manage a good marriage? Who can tell us what is family? How to build a good family, right? But if we read the book of Genesis, then we understand human beings are created by God himself. And when God created human beings, he sees everything is perfect. It's good. No need to improve. And then God bless the human being, right? And God creates a marriage. And what is marriage? The marriage actually is to leave the parent and join together with the wife, and two shall be one. And this is so-called marriage. Right? And how to build a family? We have to build a good family under the Garden of Eden, under the blessing of God, under the presence of God, under the guidance of God. So God create human being, God create marriage, God create family, God create our descendant. There are some set of the truths. We have to know the truth so we can manage our marriage. We can teach our children. We can build up a good family. But right now, what is the problem? What is the problem is we have no oracle of God. We have no teaching of God. So we don't know what is human being. So we don't know what is the purpose we live our life. So we don't know what is marriage. We don't know how to build a godly family. So even the Jews did not practice the law, but their advantage is the teaching of God, the oracle of God being given to them. That is advantage, right? So spiritually, right now we are the Jews, right? Spiritually, we are chosen people. What is the advantage? We have the manual. A manual is this Bible. All right. Today, if our life has problem, it's not because, I live my life according to the Bible, so I have so many problems. No. Today, if we have problem because we don't follow the teaching of the Bible, so the problem will arise. So what is the advantage, right? As a chosen people, like you and me, compared with the Gentile, the oral code of God being given to us, the manual of human life being given to us. And that's what the Bible tried to say. Even if we don't follow the teaching of the Bible, but as a chosen people, we still have the advantage, the teaching of the Bible, the words of God are being given to us. Also, that is verse 1 to verse 8. And then, if we look into verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No. Right? Even we don't believe there is God, God's still there, right? God is not the product of our belief. You believe, so God is there. You don't believe, God is not there. No. We are created by God, right? You don't believe, God is still there. So that is what the Bible tried to say. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No. The faithfulness of God is effective. Even you don't believe, still effective. Because God never changed. Certainly not, indeed, that God be true, but every man is a liar, as it is written. So God is true. True means what? Never change. That's called God is true. Verse 6, but if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? Right? If our unrighteousness make God become more righteous, how do you think? If my no good make you look good, how do you think? If I behave badly, so people can feel you are a good person. Just like in a company, right? If my performance is, I purposely don't try to perform good, so you can be promoted, right? Because compared with me, you are better, you perform better, you can be promoted. So do I have a credit? That's what the Bible says. If our unrighteousness make God become righteous, right? We have so many deeds, the unrighteous deeds will contrast to God is a righteous God. So we are deserved to have a credit, right? Because we make God become looks righteous. And that's what the point the Bible tried to say. Certainly not. Verse 7. For the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory. So if I lie all the times, right, and people look at me, you lie all the time, hey, God is more truthful. God never lie, right? So my lie make God become more truthful. How do you feel? Is that good? We sin so God can look more righteous. No, we cannot do that. Okay, so verse 1 to verse 8 talk about God's judgment of the righteousness will not change, regardless you like it or you don't like it. You cannot use the sin as an excuse. What kind of excuse? My sin manifests God's righteousness, so God cannot judge me. Why God cannot judge me? Because my sin make him glorious, make him become holy. So you cannot judge me. That kind of argument cannot stand. So the last sentence, their condemnation is just. And we look into verse 9 to 20. Verse 9 to 20 is a conclusion. There is none righteous. No one in the world is righteous person. In the human history, how many righteous person? In the human history, how many righteous person? Only one, right? Jesus Christ. He never sinned. Other than that, everybody sinned. Oh. But very unfortunate it is, we human beings never come to the conclusion of chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. If we come to the conclusion of chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, what is going to happen? Then we are going to looking for salvation. Because chapter 3, verse 19, let's read. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. Those who live under the law means the Jews. Under the law, under the judgment of law, everybody is guilty. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So under the law, everybody is sinner. No one is a righteous person. In today's term, if you want to understand more clear, right? In today's term, do you want to listen this? Everyone have leprosy. Do you like this term? You don't like, right? Leprosy is contagious. Leprosy cannot be cured. Leprosy will die, right? You look yourself in the mirror. The young boy looks handsome. The young girl looks beautiful, right? But if you go to the medical office, give an examination, you have leprosy. How do you feel? All right. So you come to the Bible, the spiritual medical device. Look at everybody. You have leprosy too. Everybody has leprosy. Then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Incurable disease. Sin is incurable disease. Sin is terminal sickness, right? Some are in the first stage, some are in the last stage, right? So if we understand I have leprosy in me, definitely I'm looking for a way to cure myself, not to kill myself, to cure myself, right? All right. But if I have leprosy, I don't know it. Then what? In the end, I will die. So the problem nowadays is everybody has sinned, but 99% of person don't believe they have sinned. So they reject Jesus Christ. If no, they have sinned, if they know sin is spiritual leprosy, and definitely they will come for salvation. So that was the reason when Jesus looked at people, Jesus really sympathized them. What? Because spiritually they have leprosy, so you sympathize them, right? So if we only look at person outwardly, you will envy them. So there was a brother say, it's very difficult for me to do the personal evangelism. When I try to pass a flyer, I really envy the car they drive. I really envy the house they live. If you envy them, how can you preach the gospel? Gospel is the good news, right? When you envy the person, it means you are better than I do. And I preach the good news to you. It's very difficult, right? We preach the gospel, you must feel that one is very pitiful. Then how can that one be pitiful? They have a better house, they have a better car, they have a better position, they enjoy a lot of things. How come that one is pitiful? You look through the lens of teaching of the Bible. Everyone has sinned. Sin is spiritual leprosy, incurable. And then you will sympathize him. Right? Come, There's an almighty physician who can heal your sickness, who can heal your sin. Sin is like a what? Like a debt. When you start a college, right? The credit card company start to send you application form, right? How many credit cards do you have? Some people has a lot, right? Even though they have a low income, but they still have a lot of credit card. So you can buy this stuff, new iPhone, new this, right? When you are signing the credit card, right? You own a lot of stuff, but when it's time to pay the bill, wow, it's a headache, a lot of pressure, right? So sin is a debt. It's the mountain high debt you cannot repay. If you cannot repay, what are you going to do? One day you are going to face God. He's a creditor. You have to settle account. Right? And what is salvation? Salvation means you come here, I cancel all your debt. Is that good? You have all the good things, right? But I cancel your debt. Do you like it? Of course you like it, right? We have all kind of blessing. We have a house in heaven, but you have no debt. Right? That's called salvation. How good that will be? Sin can be cured. Debt can be canceled. And that's called salvation. Now, we come to chapter 3. Verse 20, we already reached to this point, right? Everyone under the heaven have sinned. Even without open the Bible, there are two ways we know we have sinned, right? The first is conscience, right? Conscience will prick you all the times if we have sinned. And the second is death. The Bible says, death is a result of sin. Sin is the cause of death. Who don't have to believe in Jesus? Who? If you can find a person who never died, the person don't have to believe in Jesus, right? If a person never died, means the person don't have the cause, don't have the sin. If you don't have sin, you don't have to believe in Jesus. Since everybody will die, everybody have sin, so everybody needs salvation. Have to believe in Jesus. So this is chapter 3, verse 20. Okay, now we are going to next section. The truth of redemption and salvation. From chapter 3, verse 21 to chapter 8, verse 39. So there's a logic sequence. First talk about sin, and then the second talk about salvation. And when we talk about sin, the first talk about ignorance about God, and then start from there, develop all different kind of sin. Now, we go into the truth of redemption and salvation. Chapter 3, verse, let me see. Okay, verse 21 to chapter 5, verse 21 is justification. Chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. What is the definition of justification? And justification is a special term in the Bible. Only Christianity talk about justification. So what is the definition? Chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Is law good or bad? Because in the chapter 3, verse 20, for by law is the knowledge of sin. Right? Is law good or bad? Law make you become sinner, right? If you take away the law, I have no sin, right? So law is good or bad? Law is good or bad? Law will make you become sinner. Law is good or bad? You don't know. The law is just like what? The law in a country, right? Right now, United States is very free, right? So when you drive freeway, it's up to you. You want to drive right side or drive left side. It's up to you. You are free. Is that good? You're no good, right? If there's no law, tell you have to drive on right side, then a lot of car accident, right? Now, this is a free country, right? Any condition you can drive. If you drink the wine, you still can drive. Is that good? It's no good. Now, if you allow the drunkard to drive, a lot of people get hit, right? So the law itself is good. But because of human being, we have problem. So we cannot follow the law. The same thing. The Ten Commandments, everyone is good. But because we have a sinful nature, so we cannot do it. So under the law, we all have sin. Now, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law, which means there are two kinds of righteousness. The first righteousness is the righteousness through keeping the law. So every law, you keep it in your whole life. You never break even one law. So you are a righteous person. That's called the righteousness from the law. It's impossible, right? Because the previous section, we already spent four sections talking about it's impossible. How can you not breaking even one law? If we break one law, we are sinner. Now, there's a righteousness of God. A white garment prepared by God. That's called the righteousness of God. Apart from the law, not by keeping the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law of the prophet. So you look in teaching material, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, not by works, not by our behavior. Our behavior are already, we cannot reach that goal. So this is called justification. The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. That is the beginning of justification. It's available. You can apply for it. If the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is not available, we are all hopeless. How come we are all hopeless? Because we cannot keep law. So we cannot obtain the righteousness from the law. But if no righteousness from God available, then we become hopeless. The next point, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. So the righteousness of God will come to us through the faith in Jesus Christ to all, to everyone in the world. If you believe Jesus is my Savior, then you are going to obtain a white garment, and that is the righteousness of God. So this is by God's grace. How come it's by God's grace? Because it is not by works. It is not by your own effort. If it's by our own effort, means we pay a price, then it's not grace. We do not do anything. You only believe in Jesus, and then you are counted as a righteous person. That's called grace. And this process is called justification. Through believing in Jesus. Next one, chapter 3, verse 24 is supplement 23. That read 24. Being justified freely by his grace look, justified freely. Right? If you are guilty, right, involved in a lawsuit, you are guilty. You have to hire the attorney, right? You are going to pay a lot of what? A lot of expense. Nowadays, a lot of attorneys, they purposely prolong your case, right? So they can earn a lot of money, right? It's a very painful process. But look into verse 24. Being justified freely, freely. You don't pay one penny. You can be just justified. And by his grace, by God's grace, no charge. And through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Right, verse 25. Whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance God had passed over the sin that were previously committed. So here talk about one very important thing, by his blood and through the faith. So how can we obtain that God's righteousness? Look, 3. God's righteousness demonstrated in Jesus' propitiation by Jesus' blood. What does it mean by Jesus' blood? Blood represents life. Jesus was hanged on top of the cross, so he shed all his blood and he died. And this blood represents Jesus give up his life. And this blood becomes the fountain for the forgiveness of our sin. So Old Testament, when they offer the sacrifice, right? The priests have to lay their hand on top of the oxen and then kill the oxen and the blood sprinkle on a person and their sin can be forgiven. That is a prefiguration. The animal blood can never forgive anybody's sin. If any animal's life can make my sin been forgiven, then I'm a millionaire, I can commit sin numeral times, right? Because I can buy a lot of oxen. But animal is far lower than human being. Only the same devil, human being who made created by image of God, a righteous person can die for us. And that righteous person's blood can really serve us, here say, propitiation. Serve that kind of function. So the Bible say we are redeemed by a heavy price. The heavy price, how heavy? It's not a million. How heavy? By a life of a righteous person. And life is priceless by the life of Jesus Christ. Justification eventually become effective because Jesus Christ paid a price and his blood, and that become a ransom. Just like a very wealthy father, the son been kidnapped, right? And the kidnapper demand, right? How much ransom you have to pay? So we are the children of God originally, right? We are kidnapped by Satan because we have sinned. But you have to pay a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can be released from sin. We can be released from the bondage of Satan. So verse 26, we look into the next point. So God is just and is justifier by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that he might be justified and justifier of the one who had faith in Jesus Christ. So today, no matter what kind of sin we have committed, right? Even you commit murder, even you commit adultery, even you commit what? Adulterer, you worship the idol, all kind of sin, right? It's so heavy. If the sin are not forgiven, in the final judgment, probably we are going to in the bottom of the hell, right? The most serious punishment. But right now it's so easy. You just come to the before Jesus Christ and really repent. Oh, I am a sinner. I believe you are a savior. I believe that your blood can wash away my sin. I really want to determine to live a new life. I don't want to sin anymore. With this kind of faith, with this kind of determination, then we go into the water. In the time of baptism, all our sins been forgiven, been canceled. So this is called the justification by faith. Chapter 3, verse 21 to verse 31. Now, we come back to 27, chapter 3, verse 27. So, how are we going to deal with our sin? So, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? No. By the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So we can have a white garment justified by our faith. Also, in the book of Ephesians, say, we are the workmanship of God in Jesus Christ, workmanship of God. In Jesus Christ. Today I am who I am. It is a work of God through Jesus Christ. I am who I am means spiritually. Previously I was a sinner. Right now I am a righteous person. It's a work of God through the salvation of Jesus Christ, through justification in Jesus Christ. Okay, 29. Or is he or God of Jews only? Is he not also the God of Gentiles? Yes, also the Gentile also. Verse 30. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and uncircumcised through faith. So either the circumcised people, Jews, the chosen people, or the Gentile, through faith, they all can be saved. 31. Do we then make void of the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Does that mean Ten Commandments are being abolished? Ten Commandments is void, is not useless anymore. No. We are justified by faith, believe in Jesus, all our sins been forgiven. But the law still there. Right. So on the contrary, we establish the law. We fulfill the requirement of the law. The requirement of the law is righteousness. So through the faith, we reach to the purpose of the law. We obtain the righteousness. that what the Bible tried to say, chapter 3, verse 31. So when we are saved, we have nothing to be boast about. But if we are saved through our own deeds, then we have something to boast. I'm better than you, right? So I go to heaven. You cannot go because you are worse than me. Then I have something to boast. But since everybody is saved by believing in Jesus Christ, you cannot boast. You can only give thanks to God because of his grace. We are saved. Everybody is saved by God's grace. So nobody can be boast. So this is the definition of justification by faith. Not by work. It is the grace of God and by Jesus' blood and by the faith in Jesus. So we need to have faith, believe in him. The next we are going to talk about example. Justification by faith is not come in New Testament only. Justification by faith actually in the time of Abraham, that already happened. Chapter 4. Now we're going to chapter 4. Verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found accepting to flesh? Verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by work, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Now, verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as a righteousness. So according to the Bible, Abraham was considered righteous, not because he was by deeds, but because he believed in God. So this is the first example of justification by faith. He believed in God. Whatever God said, he believed, and God counted him as a righteousness. Okay, let's pray in silence.